Hey everybody, welcome to Hard Reboot. I'm Alan.
I'm last.
Oh, I'm Matt.
I'm Jake.
That'll get edited out.
But no, that's just beautiful. I'm last. Hi, last.
Oh, the dad jokes have begun. Oh, dear.
So today, we are talking about something I'm actually pretty excited about. It's one of my favorite classic stories. We are talking about The Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Okay. Cool. Do you have
Jake
any history?
Jake doesn't like the way I say Hunchback of Notre Dame.
I just think you sound like Giada De Laurentiis telling me about prosciutto, like, when you do that. Like, it's a little much for this dumb podcast that we're about to record.
But I'm trying to pronounce it correctly.
I think that's admirable. And that's just, to me, it sounds a little goofy. But that's, you know, you do you.
So, some background on The Hunchback of Notre Dame. It was originally titled Notre Dame de Paris, which is Our Lady of Paris, written in 1831, and the original setting is Paris in 1482 under the reign of King Louis XI. Excuse me.
There's a big difference. The 3rd and the 11th are leagues
apart.
I almost
said the 13th.
Okay. I thought you were going to say 3rd. I was like, that's way far away.
I feel like most people know the story of The Hunchback of Notre Dame, if for no other reason than the Disney version.
They did make a Disney movie.
Do you think we should go into it or
hit the high points?
Yeah, seeing as I don't remember the Disney movie because I have not watched it in a decade and a half.
So the short version is that there is a Romani woman, and for the listeners, I am going to avoid trying to use the G word, but it does come up a lot when you talk about The Hunchback of Notre Dame, so please bear with me. So a Romani woman by the name of Esmeralda captures a whole bunch of people's hearts, including Quasimodo and his guardian, Archdeacon Claude Frollo, who wants to get freaky with her, but then thinks that that's really sinful because she's Romani, and then ultimately decides to kill her and burn down all of Paris if he has to.
As one does.
A little extreme.
As one does. And pretty much, they, like, flashing forward, the Romanis are being treated really, really badly. Esmeralda is arrested and charged with attempted murder when it was actually Frollo that committed the murder, or almost committed the murder. And so he assumes, or Quasimodo sees the Romanis coming to hurt Esmeralda, so he drives them off, but they just wanted to rescue her. But she winds up being saved by Frollo, and Frollo betrays Esmeralda by giving her to the troops and watch while she's being hanged. When Frollo laughs during Esmeralda's hanging, Quasimodo pushes him from the height of Notre Dame to his death. And then when Quasimodo sees Esmeralda's body, he dies with her and their bodies turn to dust.
He just dies. He just stops being alive.
He holds her body and dies.
This is some fairy tale stuff going on here.
Magic?
I don't think so.
Where did the three singing gargoyles come in?
Lost the will to live.
Oh, but see, this was set in the 1400s, so that's actually kind of a thing that could happen.
Singing
because
gargoyles?
He was probably already dying of 100 things, so he let himself die.
That's probably true. How did we even make it here? Both where we are in talking in this discussion and as a species. I don't know how we made it out of the Dark Ages.
Fair, but no singing gargoyles except in the Disney version. And okay. I've always thought it was interesting. Hunchback is one of my favorite Disney movies. And the stark tonal contrast between what is actually happening in the movie and those three, super tonally
dissonant. Well, yeah, there's a reason those three are there. It's for kids to not go, hey, this is real dark.
Yeah, a man literally sings a song about hellfire and how he can't control his lust for this woman and he'll kill everyone because he can't have her.
So what medium are we working with today, Alan?
Well, let's start with genre. So the genre that I had picked last time was modern.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So a modern retelling of The Hunchback of Notre Dame. The medium.
Sports movie.
Anime.
Okay.
12 episode series or less.
Okay, I've listened to a little bit of WTF Anime. I've listened to all their episodes. They're very good. Go listen to it. We've all been on it. Alan might have suffered the most. Jake might have killed them the most.
I'm just the saying of the reigning champ, and I've got some choices for the next time I'm on there, which should be pretty soon.
But I think we've all seen enough of their show, listened to enough of their show to know that we need to get a bit more specific with what kind of anime we're doing.
Are we doing a shonen anime? Because I'm all about those right now.
Actually, I was thinking one of the two, and I was going to let y'all pick. Shonen or slice of life?
Nope. I'm going to be a Travis on this one. Fuck a slice of life. There's no reason to be bored for 30 minutes.
Okay, but counterpoint, K-On! Is wonderful and pure and good, and it is a slice of life.
Here's the thing with K-On!, though. They introduce a fifth member, and the show stops being good, though.
Okay, fair, but still.
And that's like 9 episodes in, maybe. That's where I stopped anyway. I like a shonen better just because they are very exactly what I want out of television shows. So that's my pick. I don't know how we're gonna do this either way, but
a modern shonen anime based on The Hunchback. I think we have our work cut out for us, my dudes.
I think maybe shonen, as I understand it, first of all, it means boy. The genre of anime is boy anime, which is just the funniest thing in the world to me. But it's like, you know, action, you know, adventure.
It's very much your Bleach, your Dragon Ball Z, your
either of these.
Hero goes, powers up, does a thing, faces a villain.
My Hero
probably
Academia.
Isn't strong enough, goes back, gets stronger, comes back, beats the villain, wash, rinse, repeat 100 times.
I mean, I would counter that by saying that My Hero Academia is definitely a shonen anime, and he doesn't need to go power up anywhere. He just does the damn thing.
The thing about My Hero Academia, though, is it breaks the mold of traditional shonen.
It's also very Western influenced, so like, yes. there's a lot more about that. So is Quasimodo our fucking main character fighter boy? Like, because I'm into that.
Yeah.
That or he's the mentor?
Oh, that's a weird way to go with it that I hadn't considered.
Hmm.
So then who would be our main character? Esmeralda?
I mean, yes, please. Get rid of all those uncomfortable romance things.
Well, no, see, that's the thing is... You gotta,
no, it's
gotta,
still there.
Like, that's like in Frollo. That dude is a gross man. And like,
well, and the thing is, I like the idea of even Quasimodo having feelings for Esmeralda, but being like, no, I love her, but I'm not going to let myself be in love with her.
So that might be a tightrope. We can cross that bridge when we get there.
The first arc can be that, but eventually that needs to transition into like the mentor relationship.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So what is he mentoring her to do then?
Yeah, I guess what's the point?
That's a good question. What's the point?
So I kind of... Obviously, Frollo is our antagonist.
Okay. Sure.
One thing that I want to get out of the gate, I really want to drop the Romani angle.
Yeah.
Because it now just reeks of racism, which is kind of unfortunate.
Well, I mean, on the plus side, it doesn't reek of racism. It is racism.
Yeah.
But on the plus side, it's not treating the Romani like they are the bad guys. You know, like there's a part where they are tricked, but that can happen to anybody. Frollo is still definitely the bad guy. It's not like, look at that witch Esmeralda and all of her spooky powers and all that other gross stuff that they like to do. That's not it. So I'm cool with dropping the angle. I just don't know how much. I don't know if whitewashing is scrubbing, you know? I don't know if you scrub it too clean.
Can she still just be Romani? Like, let that still be just who she is. Just, it's not, like, a plot element.
Yeah, it can just be, you know, she can still be that. It just, like, yeah, it's not, like, the And even if it is defocused, because like that's the story. The story is that like her people are oppressed and she's sick of that. Like,
mm-hmm. that's God not, help the outcasts and all
that's
that.
That's not bad. It's not like a bad thing to have that be. It's just like, as long as we don't come at it from Frollo's side, then we're good.
Yeah, yeah. And even if Frollo is still just like, you know what? I'm all about like getting rid of these gypsies. And like, that's what he would say. That's bad, but
for sure, yeah.
He would say. Even if that's his characterization, that doesn't need to be, like, the focus of it.
Yeah, it can be, like, because it's modern. Okay, so we're doing modern.
Right.
How weird are we going to get? Because apparently Quasimodo is magic and that he turns to dust at the end, so.
Well, and I mean, the thing about Hunchback is there is some kind of magic. There's a lot of illusion
gargoyles.
Stuff. No. Esmeralda does a lot of illusions.
Okay.
So it leans into what you were saying earlier about Frollo thinking she's a witch is because she does illusions, but he thinks they're magic. I say get as weird with it as we want.
If we get weird with it, then the villain of the week, like the monster of the week every time, are demons from hell that Frollo summons.
To burn her down, yeah.
Yeah.
But he's like Archduke, what was he? A constable?
Deacon.
So he's like in the church, so why would he be summoning demons?
Who better would know how to do it than the one supposed to be stopping them?
He doesn't think they're demons.
Ooh.
He's made a deal with the devil or made a deal with the demons, and when he summons them, he sees them as like pure beings, and he's like, go and get me Esmeralda.
I don't want Frollo to be sympathetic at all.
Yeah, I don't want him to have been tricked. I want, like...
Then I would definitely say that I could see him selling his soul to Satan
I don't know if I would go that far, because doesn't that kind of fly in the face of him being in the clergy? I'm all for an evil clergyman, like, don't even...
I was about to say Buffy.
Don't even worry about that. Like, that, I am fine with that. I just think that they need to feel like they are coming from a place of righteousness. So if he's using demons...
But that makes him sympathetic.
Ooh.
No, it doesn't.
What if he thinks he's bound them and is, like, trying to save the souls of the damned or whatever? Like, go do this act of penance.
Of murder.
I mean, yeah.
Okay.
Does that work for you better at all? Like,
I think him using demons can make sense. I just think we need to figure out how to come at it. And I think that him... binding them, it might be like what Alan said, like who better to kill a witch than a demon, mm-hmm. you know, like might be a good place to come from, because then it can be, you know, like, you know, his hubris, like, oh, I can use the demons because like I am so righteous and powerful that like they don't, this will never come back on me.
I like that.
So I can see that then, if he thinks he is, I don't know if he cares about saving them maybe so much as just like, I'm so righteous, I cannot be tainted. Asterisk, he has been.
Well,
like,
and the thing is, I think that's the cool part, is the more he summons and the more he binds, the further he falls into darkness to where he becomes a demon and he is the final thing she slays.
That's very anime.
Yeah. Okay, I'm on board with that. So it's modern, so it's not futuristic. Are we going to do like, you know, like 10 minutes in the future kind of thing?
Well, and I like it still being set in Paris.
Okay.
Well, yeah, that's where Notre Dame is. So I would imagine we would need to stay around there to do the Hunchback of it.
Yeah.
Unless he is the Hunchback of Notre Dame,
college. The school.
The fighting Irish.
Oh my God, that would be hilarious, though.
That's not bad. That takes us to a different place entirely.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I'm on board with that, even though
that turns this into a shonen comedy.
Yeah. So Quasimodo is more of the mentor figure. Did he? Why?
Because he was able to actually make the church a sanctuary. Like,
okay.
Demons can't get in to the Church of Notre Dame.
Okay, so he's been fighting against this. Oh, because he's considered a demon and Frollo wants to get rid of him too?
Yeah.
Yeah, it can. I mean, like, Frollo, I keep wanting to call him Froyo, so, like, one of these times it's gonna happen.
I've been trying not to call him Frodo.
Also, so gay. Frollo Frodo Yo-Yo is a very bad man, and I think his main deal can be that anyone not, air quotes, pure needs to be burnt, you know, purged with fire. And that can be anyone who disagrees with him, or if you look different, or if you are Romani or whatever. I think that can just be his whole mission statement, is get rid of everyone I don't like.
I like that.
I also feel like he set up his own church. He has left Notre Dame.
Oh, so he's actually like now like, oh, well, the church isn't taking a hard enough line.
Yeah, the church isn't doing church enough. Yeah. Okay.
Which, once he left, that's why Quasimodo was able to purify it. And that's where the not singing gargoyles, but we could have living gargoyles be a part of the show, because they are the protectors of the building of Notre Dame. They can't do anything outside of the building, but they can stop threats that are, like, attacking the building itself.
Okay. Oh, I like that.
Yeah, that's good. Like, part training dummy, part spy, part janitor.
So exactly. which gargoyles are we going to get? Brooklyn, Lexington,
probably. I like
Broadway,
Goliath. I really do like Desdemona.
Desdemona. If you want to get fancy.
She's hot, cold, but, you know.
Only if we can get the entire cast of TNG back on board for it.
Well, Coldfire was a whole different gargoyle from the Othello arc. I don't know if everyone remembers that. Literally the only Shakespeare I know comes from gargoyles.
So I remember I had like a Gargoyles board game that you played with a VHS.
Oh,
and it had
dude.
Like a countdown timer, and it was the most stressful thing ever. Yeah. And I think that's where my anxiety started.
Hey, a 5-year-old Alan or whatever, here's a cool trick. You can pause the VHS, my dude.
Yeah, young Alan was like, no, oh my God, I only have 15 seconds. I'm going to die.
This is the worst. Anyway, so we can't have any licensed gargoyles, but we'll have some gargoyles there.
I like that. I want to look at Frollo's church here for a second. Okay. I want him to not be the only one who split off, but I want him to eventually be the only one. Like, he eliminates all those above him because they're also not doing it right.
So like him and some high ranking members of the church are like, we're going to take a hard line on this. All these demons on earth, we're going to get rid of them all. And then like one of them's like, I don't think we should kill this baby. And Frollo's like, well, I'm going to stab you in the eyes then, because I think we should kill babies.
Yep. Yes.
All right. I'm on board.
Or I see him as being more subtle. So like poisoned wine, you know, like they just die mysteriously in their sleep.
So there should be several superiors when we start then, obviously. Like, because he's got to go crazier and crazier as the series goes on.
Yeah, it's like...
What if that's how he summons his demons, is he kills another member of his church?
Oh, sacrifice.
Well, I'm okay with that. We just need to have, like, kind of a big buffer. And also, the one thing I know about... If I know anything about a shonen anime, One Piece or My Hero, because they're the only two I watch. There's not necessarily like a monster of the week so much as there are like arcs within. Mm-hmm. And I haven't watched necessarily a 12 episode shonen. I mean, the first season of My Hero Academia is only 13 episodes, so like I guess that makes sense. Where like it's like 3 or 4 episode bursts are like the different arcs of the story. So maybe instead of having a monster of the week, we have
monster of an arc.
We have like 3 monster of the arcs, and then the last 3 episodes are
Frollo's ascending.
Frollo, yeah,
I like that.
So he has 3 superiors, and they, you know, get killed. And do they get turned into the demons?
I think the first one happens by accident. Like the first one happens by accident in a summoning. And then Frollo's just like, oh, wait, that's how I can do it? Done.
Oh, I can, and then I can control these, me, the powerful and righteous Frollo.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's circle back to Esmeralda. What am I trying to say? Her reason for doing this. Do we have any thoughts, or is it just that, like, she has had enough?
I think she's had enough, but I also do... I like the idea of her seeing the church, and specifically Frollo's branch of the church, mistreating the poor and the weak and the sick, and being like, no, you're not meeting your own tenets. How dare you? You're hurting people. And that's her line.
Does that happen? And then does she witness, like, Quasimodo and, like, one last go, like, kicking some demon ass or something? And getting injured in the process?
Yes to that. But I think it's got to be a thing where, like, because I don't want her to be like, oh, you killed my family and now I must take revenge. I want her to just be like, you are bad and I do not like that. Because that's very, like, shonen anime. It's like, I just take a hard line against this. So maybe she goes to, like, stop him right away and it doesn't work because it's episode one and she gets her ass kicked and she, you know, has to flee. And, like, that's when she comes across the church and she sees, you know, Quasimodo and a couple gargoyles beating up some demons that were sent after her, and he takes her in, and then he's like, all right, well, I guess I'll teach you how to fight them and how to, you know, if this is what you're going to do, I'm going to make sure you're as prepared as possible.
I dig that. What are her powers, or does she have powers?
You said she had illusions, but not necessarily, like,
actual magic. Like, they were, like,
the sleight of hand and, like,
they were street magician type.
Street magician stuff, yeah.
Mm-hmm. This is gonna be a little bit more now you see me kind of magic, right?
She was very David Blaine.
Okay.
Well, she turned somebody's orange soda into Cheetos.
Or Cheez-Its. That's just rude.
Did she try to make Notre Dame disappear and it didn't work?
I like the idea of her being, like, a magician in the, you know,
the classic sense,
Vegas sense of the word. I like that.
So she does a lot of pickpocketing, sleight of hand.
Yeah, she knows a lot of people that she can use as, like, very complicated setups to, like, things to go off.
She knows all the street urchins of Paris, and she's been taking care of them, like, low key.
Yeah, well, I mean, they may not necessarily taking care of them, but just, like, you know, I don't imagine she is crazy rich or wealthy, so she just knows them all, you know? Yeah,
like, she learned her skills on the street with them and helps them now.
Yeah.
So final confrontation time, it's not even about her. Like, she's got Frollo, like, all up in his church, and she's like, hey, buddy, guess what? I'm not even the real plan. I am the distraction.
She's the prestige.
Yeah.
I think the final battle has to be her tricking Frollo into Notre Dame, right? Like,
oh,
to the,
yeah.
to the
oh,
roof yeah. of it so she can push him off. Because, like, that's how he dies in the... I know that she dies and gets hung, and I'm not into that. And then Quasimodo turns into dust, and I'm not into that ending.
I like the idea that he's surrounded... Like, have it end kind of similarly to the Disney movie in that he's surrounded the cathedral in flames. And they're up on the roof and they're fighting, and she knocks him off into the fire and he is consumed in flame. His evil is washed clean by fire, like he'd been trying to do to things that weren't actually evil.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So he's not fireproof then.
No.
Good to know. Yeah, I like that.
Ooh, part of that, a fun part of that might be if whatever demon force had powered him up abandons him.
Mm.
That's part of that kind of tricksy demon thing.
Well, maybe that can also be kind of the, you know, no demon can step foot in Notre Dame. And, like, the second he steps in, he doesn't know it. He's still, like, jacked up on, like, just being a powerful person because, like, anime antagonists just are powerful in their own right. But then, like, the second he crosses the threshold, the demon, like, is washed out because it can't come with him. And that's the trick. Like, that is part of the plan, is to, like, weaken him to a human level to where... Now he is consumed by fire, and now he can fall off a roof and die.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like that.
I like that a lot.
So we're only like a half hour in, and I feel like we've covered a lot. We're getting a little too efficient at this, maybe. You guys want to talk about gargoyles for a little while?
I love me a gargoyle.
let's talk about like the actual like arcs here, because we've just kind of bounced off the surface a lot of this. Like, what's actually going on?
So, and One Piece is a pretty bad example of this because, and again, I've only watched two animes. Well, I watched three because I watched One Punch Man too, which also fucking rules. If anyone here has not watched it, it's very good. He only does one punch and he wins, and that's so good.
That's the one where he's a hero because he's just bored, right?
Because he wants to be, and everyone's like, "How, you're just a hero because you want to be?" He's like, "Yeah, that's it." And like the secret to how he got his powers is so mundane and lame that it can't be true, but that's what he thinks. It's so good. Anyway, so One Piece is like 900 episodes long, and there's like the first season is like 50, and the second season is like 90 episodes. So like the arcs are like really elongated, so it takes them a long time to do anything. We can't really do that. Like
But what I like is going with like the classic elements. So like the ancient temperaments and things. So like Frollo would be fire.
We got a wet demon. We got an air demon.
And we got an earth demon.
And we got a fire demon. It was Frollo at the end.
Right.
I like that. Yeah.
Okay. Now are these demons too? Because we know where we're ending. We are ending with Frollo being hoisted by his own petard in a sense, in that he dies in fire. And he is the fire guy. Is it sort of a thing like that where the demon necessarily isn't a water demon but is killed by water, or isn't necessarily an air demon but is killed by air somehow, or do we want to just go straight like have his be the reversal kind of prestige?
What if we kind of actually spin away from being weird? Because we kind of already toned down her stuff to just like street magician magic instead of anything really mystic. Like, leave mysticism in the church. Leave that alone. But what if all of this is just, like, some force empowers these other, like, bishops in the church?
Okay.
Like, Frollo, like, stabs them with some magic dagger or something. So it's actually just the person. And they embody that element, and that element is how they have to get killed.
So Yeah, I like that. So, like, he kills them however he does it. But as long as it is done by him on purpose, it counts. And then that lets a demon get into them. And then they are dead, but there's still a demon walking around in their skin.
Mm-hmm.
That now is like, here is a water demon, but you need to kill it with water.
But he figured out, like, the final, like, I'm guessing he has some kind of book or something like that.
Oh, he's got to have like a couple, like a tome. Artifacts. Yeah.
But he figures out the way to do it and not die, which is how he takes in the fire demon.
Is that should be part of it? Is maybe in like he's trying to figure out how to like embody it without dying, and mm-hmm. like maybe Esmeralda has like an heirloom or something that is like the final piece, and that's what his mat on with her is. Like, in addition to just be kind of horned for her, because, like, he's a bad guy, and, like, obviously.
Yeah. What would be fun is, the final arc, he gets that medallion or whatever, the heirloom, but she gets the book. So that's how they figure out how to upgrade the defenses to depower him.
Then that's how she knows that, like once it leaves, he'll just be regular, but he won't notice for a little. He'll still be as strong, but he won't have all the cool, after effects. Okay.
So that's the last arc. She has to get captured then somehow.
Maybe she doesn't beat, maybe the third arc is the air demon and she doesn't beat it.
Oh, beats him during the final confrontation.
She beats him, in the last arc, but it's sort of like a kind of an oops thing, like,
that's how the arc starts.
Yeah.
Or Quasimodo kills it when he comes in to rescue her.
Okay, I like that too.
I want her to get out on her own.
Here's the thing is,
what if he dies?
I don't love that either. Maybe that's just me being a softie. I like her getting out on her own, but I also want Quasimodo to not just be like, I'll be at home. Like,
what if she doesn't kill it during the escape? She escapes on her own, but then there's two demons running around, so they have to divide forces.
Okay, and she's like, I will trick Frollo here, but you need to make sure you kill the air demon first, however you would do that.
It's gotta be something dumb, right? It's gotta be something just like...
it's got to be real dumb because, like, how do you kill someone with water? You drown them. How do you kill someone with earth? You crush them under. How do you kill someone with air? I don't know. You vacuum them up.
I was about to say, it's modern day. Where can we put the... They put them in a chamber that's completely sealed. Like, there's... What are those called?
The European Space Agency just opened one of those simulation chambers in Paris.
the iFly? They opened iFly Paris?
Well, it's that thing from Armageddon, I think, whichever one had Bruce Willis, where they go in and it's just like a room that has an unnecessary amount of spikes for some reason. But sure. It can go down to, like, no oxygen. It can be completely vacuum sealed.
But to be fair, wouldn't that be killing them with the lack of oxygen then? Not necessarily killing them with air.
Then maybe I fly? Does Quasimodo just throw this thing into a fan?
I think maybe
he just attach him to a hose and pump him full of oxygen until he blows up like a balloon?
And shoots him with a shark pellet. And he hit like a Kananga balloon.
if we're going to have a triple taking... pigeon.
Well, that's in Moonraker, so I mean, sure, it's all Roger Moore. We can do whatever. Maybe instead of like he doesn't pump it like with by hand, but maybe there's like some sort of compressor that he jabs him with, and he just is like, oh, that's too much, too quick.
Mm-hmm.
I can deal with that. That's weird that enough to work for Shonen.
Because we can do that at the end of like a really cool fight where like Quasimodo's getting his ass kicked, but then like, you know, lands near an air compressor and just like jabs it in his mouth or something.
He just looks at it and goes, no.
This is too stupid to work. Well, it's episode 11. You got to do something.
Yep. And it works.
I kind of dig that. I kind of dig that a lot.
Yeah. Especially because like you'll get that little moment of like, oh, that's so weird. And then like right afterwards you get, no, here's your cool denouement. Like you're going to kill the evil demon fire guy with fire. Like it'll be all cathartic there. But like we're just going to give you something kind of goofy right away.
It's to de-escalate just before the final fight.
Yeah. Okay, so anything else?
Man, okay, this can't be like a record number low
scoring episode here. I think we're just getting too good at this.
I'm very happy with what we've got.
Okay,
I didn't think it was going to be more difficult than this.
Okay, well, before we do a name, because that always takes about 12 minutes, and I think there's a really obvious name that I'm going to shoot down just because it would be too easy, but we'll get there in a second. We need some supporting characters. Right now, we only have three characters.
Gargoyles.
Well, gargoyles, are they sentient? Is that stepping on, is the mouse going to come for us if we have sentient gargoyles?
I don't know if sentient is the right word. Probably sapient. Like they take orders. They're just
homunculi.
Yeah. Kind of. Yeah.
Yeah. So they don't need to have personality. I mean, obviously they're going to have names because Quasimodo would have named them. But like, I don't think they need to have like super distinct personalities. But like, who are some of Esmeralda's friends and confidants and helpers and whatnot?
Well, we got to get a couple names for some of these, like, key street urchins. Like, who are her go-to, like, crew that's just like, we're going to be, like, your plants in the audience. We're going to be the ones who, like, help behind the scenes.
There's got to be, like, an old lady who no one would suspect as being, like, part of this this hoodwink.
Does she, like, work a market stall?
Yeah, maybe she has, like a... Not necessarily like a whole bakery, but like she just like sells her baked goods at a stall somewhere.
I dig that. So what's her name?
What's a good old lady French name?
Marie?
I can buy that.
Yeah.
And people call her Mama Marie.
Okay.
I dig that. Oh, okay. So make her a little bit of a fortune teller.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. And
she turns out to actually be Esmeralda's mother.
No. Or grandmother.
Yeah, she's gonna be super old.
Yeah.
Or grandmother.
We need that like dirty street urchin kid who's always just like, no, but I'm awesome and can do everything. And people are like, yeah, shut up, kid.
It should be Remy.
Oh my god, it's Remy, yes.
But he is not a gross pervert.
He's got the newsboy cap and everything, like all.
Oh yeah,
crooked.
Absolutely. It not you, it Gambit.
It not you, it Gambit.
Yeah, and then I think there's got to be some, like, a love interest who we never get around to fulfilling the love interest part of. Like, he thinks he's the love interest, but she does not, so he's just like...
Oh, that would be Phobos, the captain of the archers.
So there is a character.
Yeah, the blonde guy in the Disney movie.
I saw the Disney movie when I was like 10. Like, I don't remember anything.
He was the
it.
One who filled the pretty prince role.
Okay.
I like that. Like, get some like kind of noble like kid from like a wealthier family who just kind of like stumbled into shit and like,
he's from like a well-to-do family, but he just doesn't like them. So he's like, yeah, I'll be part of this resistance. Sure.
And I mean, this sounds like we are assembling the Court of Miracles, which is kind of a thing within Hunchback. Basically,
how are you just now saying the words Court of Miracles in our Shonen anime podcast?
Alan?
Because I'd forgotten about it. Court of Miracles
title
was a French term which referred to the slum districts in Paris.
Oh my God.
So this was actually a real thing. It's not exclusive to Hunchback.
I think we have a name for our show now, because I don't know how we can walk past the Court of Miracles.
But there's another character, Pierre Gringorge, who was a struggling poet.
Okay.
I dig it. That could be the other one that like helps out in the crowd, because Phobo dude does not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's just not good at it.
He tries really hard, and by the end of the show, maybe he's learned to like palm a card.
So this is now that we have blown this thing wide open with the Court of Miracles.
Court of Miracles. Oh my gosh.
Should Esmeralda's magic be kind of ambiguous then? Like, can it maybe be magic, but not like...
Oh, for sure.
Because I haven't seen the Now You Seize Me oeuvre, but like, they're kind of wizards, right? Like, they do some things that wouldn't be possible.
They do the actual magic?
For sure, they're kind of a little magic. Definitely see the first one. It's one of the best heist movies ever made.
Okay, it's big praise.
Okay, I'm also not Ken or Robin, Kenneth Hyde or Robin Laws. They have thoughts on heist movies, and a lot of them I had never even heard of, so I feel very uneducated. but I love it. It's amazing. The second one is a sequel.
Sure.
But yeah, let's, like, what if, like, in moments of just high tension, she gets that, like, anime effect where her eyes go a solid color and actual stuff happens?
One of my favorite things that I, like... It happens a lot in with, you know, criminals, especially people who know like sleight of hand, is they're like they were handcuffed and then they're not handcuffed. And like, I want things like that to happen all the time where like, is this happening at a frequency that is maybe unbelievable that she's just doing it? But, you know,
how is it possible that they got the keys to the handcuff in that cop's unopened soda? That's literally impossible. But you did it.
Yeah, just like some weird stuff like that if we're going to be doing the Court of Miracles.
Oh, my God. Alan, that name is so perfect.
It really is. It's very good.
That blows my name for the show right out of the water.
I was going to veto Notre Dame right away, and that's the only thing I had.
That was where I went first, and then I went to The Magician of Notre Dame. But Court of Miracles is literally perfect.
It's too good.
On the plus side, this took us to 40 minutes, which feels
that's
better.
That's true. Yeah, it feels... So can we buff this out with 5 more minutes? Do we need to do anything else? Is there anything else we need to, like, get in the... Real quick, we didn't figure out exactly how the earth and the water one die. I imagine it's by earth and, you know, being crushed and water. But is there anything special or fancy we can do for that?
Is the earth one, like... Is it just a dog pile of gargoyles? Like,
I was just thinking that. I think the gargoyles take him out.
Do like 4 gargoyles grab the demon at the top of Notre Dame Tower and just like jump to the plaza below?
Well, he can't get into the Notre Dame, remember?
Because even if he's on the roof, he's still on sacred ground.
Yeah. I'm thinking maybe a construction site, a nice good construction site fight.
Oh, that'd be good.
That ends with her like knocking a building over with a... Or one of her friends knocking a building over with a wrecking ball and it crushing down onto him.
Ooh, or even they have a dump truck full of dirt and boulders and stuff.
Just like backloaded onto
exactly.
Him. Yeah, I like that.
I take that a lot. I'm picturing like the first one is maybe either someone like does the whole like, I'm going to bless this surprising amount of water that shouldn't be turned into holy water in normal circumstances trick.
Yeah, I was going to say something like that. Like, I don't know a lot about Paris, but I assume there is a big water source nearby. It's a major city. They typically have those.
There's a couple rivers. Oh, maybe someone, like, does the holy water blessing on, like, the upstream of the Seine River.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it just runs downstream. Yeah. So maybe the fight for that one isn't, I need to get him in this water. It's, I need to wait until that works its way down here.
I need to keep him in the water long enough, too. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. It's where he gets his power, but we can kill him with it.
But yeah, once we turn it against him. Yeah, so I like
does
that.
Esmeralda live in Notre Dame, or does she live out, or does she live in the Court of Miracles?
She has to live in the Court of Miracles, yeah. I assume.
She's got that, like, surprisingly nice yet shabby apartment on the top of a building somewhere that should not be as big as it is.
It's just like a clock tower or whatever.
Yeah. Because Notre Dame is still a tourist attraction.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and there's, like, Quasimodo's in there, but, like, they just think he's, like, the janitor of Notre Dame.
Or
like,
he's still the bell ringer, but they think that, you know, it's computers that does it now, and that's not actually, like, something has timed the bell rings, but he's actually still pulling the bells.
Yeah.
Those computers just don't work on the sake with, like, the magic of the place. Like, the gargoyles keep taking it apart and throwing it away, so he just does it.
Yeah, it's just got to be him. Also, then, obviously, we have to have that bell come into play in the final fight at some point.
He starts ringing the bells, and that's what distracts Frollo long enough for Esmeralda to tackle him off the roof.
I was thinking someone picks him by the, like, grabs him by the head and slams his head into the bell, and that makes one of the ding-dongs. But
Also that.
I mean, we could do either, really.
Both are good. So we've definitely cranked this out to the length it's supposed to be. And even better, before we get on to actually picking our next one, I did add some fairy tales to the list. We have a list of 30 choices now.
Oh, shit.
And two, we have a rating/review on iTunes.
Oh, hot dog. Yeah. Hit us up.
So the rating and review on the iTunes comes from user Sugarbolt. The title, as far as I can read it, is I'd say shut up and take my, and then iTunes cuts it off because they don't like my phone.
iTunes hates phones now. I don't guess
it's their own phone. That shouldn't be
sorry,
a problem.
It's not iTunes. It's Snapple Podcast now.
Oh, right. Sorry. My bad. It's a 5-star rating. So thank you. Sugar Woo,
thank you.
Thank you.
The review is I came upon this podcast through Pokemon World Tour United podcast.
Oh, yay.
Brap, brap.
The concept was too good to pass up and I was not disappointed. If you need a monthly dose of why can't this idea be real? We feel that exact same way about so many of these.
Uh-huh.
Then look no further. The crew of Hard Reboot gives old public domain properties the fresh coat of paint they need, reimagining them as films, Netflix originals, and even board games. They keep you on your toes, wondering what odd twist the next project will take and how soon you'll be able to fund it on Kickstarter. I, for one, cannot rest until I have a copy of a Dorian Gray board game.
Someday
we should get to work on that at some point.
We should. Yeah, that was a good one.
It really was.
Someone needs to listen to that and write down all of our ideas again, though, because
I'll probably do that at some point. They were very good. I found the demonstration board piece that I made after that episode because I just keep finding things in my house.
Well, well, thank you very much for the review.
Thank you.
Yeah, and if you want to have your review read on air, leave us one.
Just leave one. It's yeah. Really easy.
It's really
we're
easy.
We're not very discerning.
I've got that random number generator ready. Cinderella.
Hoo-wee. Hey, can I, guys, please forgive me. Matt, it seems like you got some big shoes to fill.
Oh,
I'm so proud of you right now. Okay.
What's the genre?
Space op.
I like it.
Okay.
It's been a minute since we've gone to space. I don't know what I'm going to do with that yet, but we're going with a space opera.
All right.
So, man, is that all we do on this show? Do we have other stuff we need to do?
I think that might be all we do on this show.
Do we do a bumper or do we do an outro?
We got a bumper.
We do have a bumper, but we also do an outro where we do the exact same thing that's become canon now.
Yep.
Every
time. I don't know. No.
You mean you've been rebooted.
No.
You can find us on Twitter @ReBootCast or email us hardreboot
at fifthdraw.com. Alan Sells can be found at Alan_Sells on Twitter. Matt Hoadley can be found at Matt Hoadley. And Jake Mason can be found at JJ_Mason.
Hard Reboot is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 4.0 International License. For more information, please visit creativecommons.org.